Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio on WGR Sports Radio 550.
So Mike Shope and I have this thing every year. You probably know we've been talking about it for years. It's that in Buffalo, Memorial Day weather is always perfect. Like perfect. Every year. So every year I'm like, please be perfect again, because I want the streak to continue. How about this for Monday? 83 and sunny here in Buffalo. 83 and sunny Monday. It's just so perfect every year, Memorial Day. It's amazing. Patrick Hammer is going to actually join me in a half hour from now just to tell you what to expect for your Memorial Day weekend plans as far as weather is concerned. No weather concerns usually out in Vegas. I've been there many times. It's dry. It's hot. It's awesome. The weather is usually very, very good. We're going to welcome in a guy who's also very, very good covering the Raiders. That is my pal, Vinny Bond Sr., right now on the Western Hotline. What's going on, Vinny? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, Paizan, and it is going to get to 103 today.
Wow!
So, it's a nice 95 right now. here's the thing. Now, having lived here for a couple of years,
yeah,
we beg for 95 in about a month and a half or so. 95 seems like just you got to wear a jacket in about a month or so. Right now, we're sweating it out, but it totally changes in a couple of months when 95 sounds so good, just the thought of it. So,
what does it do at night now? Does it get down in like the 70s or even 60s?
No, not quite. Probably like the 80s.
Okay,
or so,
wow.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, later on in the summer, it's blistering hot even at night. You just have to kind of endure it. But like right now, this is what they call pool weather in Las Vegas.
And there's lots of pools in Las Vegas.
There
we know that.
A lot of pools.
Vinny is part of Vegas Nation. He's a reporter at the Review Journal, and he covers the Vegas Raiders. Let's start with the most immediate news with this team, the workout of Colin Kaepernick. Now, Jeremy Fowler's been reporting on ESPN, no signing is imminent, but using the word positive. What do you know about the workout? Why did it happen, and where does it stand?
Wait, who worked out for the Raiders?
No, right, yeah.
hearing basically the same thing. And one thing that I will say that if the Raiders sign Colin Kaepernick, it's going to be because they feel like he improves their roster like right now. Or I shouldn't say right now, because he's going to have to shake some rust off. But that he improves this roster. It's not going to be or not be for anything, that's happened prior to right this second. Whatever he may bring, positive or negative, depending on how some fans look at things, whatever distraction he might bring, if he is signed, because that would be obviously a really big story. None of that's going to factor into it. Mark Davis has previously said, and he's the owner, that if his football leadership said, hey, we want to sign Colin Kaepernick, he would never stand in the way and would advocate it. And that's what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to Dave Ziegler, the general manager, and Josh McDaniels, the head coach. And they're going to make that final call. And I think right now they're still in the process of, evaluating what they saw on Wednesday, evaluating that. I'm sure they had a long talk with Colin Kaepernick and his people, and then they're going to make a decision based all on whether or not they feel he helps this team as the backup quarterback to Derek Carr. That's what it would be. It wouldn't be, a situation where they're bringing somebody in or Colin Kaepernick in because they feel like he could situationally help them, maybe down on a third and short or a red zone. I don't think that there's any real plan for that kind of a role. It would strictly be as a backup to Derek Carr, and does he offer them a better chance at being the backup than the guys that they have on the roster right now?
And right now, that's Jarrett Stidham, that's Nick Mullins. Are they looking for a better option or just basically covering their bases?
I think it's more covering their bases. And one thing I'll say about this staff, and Josh McDaniels alluded to it yesterday, there's a ton of guys coming in and out of that building. It's probably not unusual for any NFL team, but when especially when you're a new leadership group and you're trying to get a handle on this roster and trying to put your imprint on it, you're not leaving any stone unturned, and that goes for the backup, guard spot, the inside linebacker spot, the fullback position, and also the backup quarterback spot. I think history shows, obviously, that those guys are a play away from being the guy. Derek Carr, to his credit, has been kind of a stalwart and just a physical phenom. He never misses games, or very rarely misses games. So that he's got that going for him, but it's always a play away. So and here's the other thing: this team has high aspirations, and so they don't want the marginal things or the things that maybe not everybody's focused on, but can become prominent at some point during the season. They don't want any of those things to be an impediment to what they want to get and where they want to go. So. They're taking a look across the roster, and quarterback is one of them.
All right, so let's stay on quarterback, because it just seems like at every turn there's something dealing with that with the Raiders, whether that's do we extend Derek Carr? Is he our guy going forward? They're bringing in Colin Kaepernick. Where does all of that stand in the entire landscape, the big picture of the Raiders and Derek Carr?
Well, I think the quarterback position, at least at starter, is one you just check that box off in a major way, too. It's so funny because even when I was covering the Rams in Los Angeles, and John Gruden took over the Raiders, I just kind of assumed, like everyone else did, John Gruden's going to go out and get his guy, and Derek Carr is probably has an expiration date attached to him. Well, 4 years later, the one guy that's still left from that team is a guy by the name of Derek Carr, and it's not because they weren't interested maybe in looking elsewhere or weren't open, to replacing him. He just has played really good football, and he's been a leader, and he's been an anchor, really. And I don't think we've seen his best football. I think when we've seen his best football, it's when he's got, a good supporting cast. Even last year, when Henry Ruggs was on the field and Darren Waller was healthy, we were talking about Derek Carr, not just here locally, but nationally. He was putting up numbers where people were saying, if he keeps this up, this is a legitimate MVP candidate. Well, then, in short order, John Gruden situation happens, the Henry Ruggs tragedy happens, Darren Waller misses 5 or 6 straight games, right in the thick of the schedule. And yeah, guess what? Derek Carr's numbers went down. The offense's numbers went down. Well, there's a cause and effect there. It wasn't that his play, fell off. It was that the talent around him was neutralized a little bit. So you put now Devontae Adams with Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow and Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake and, everything else that they've got going for themselves offensively. If everybody stays healthy, I think the quarterback play is going to reflect that in a pretty big way. So if you're asking, where the Raiders are at quarterback, starting quarterback, they're extremely satisfied.
And they do have a good group of skilled players. Is that why Bryan Edwards was traded? Was there just no room for him anymore?
Yeah, a little bit of that. Sometimes that's to be expected when a new staff comes in. We don't know what Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels thought of Bryan Edwards coming out of college. Maybe it just wasn't a fit schematically or skill set wise for what they were looking for. They went out and got Keelan Cole. They went out and got Mac Hollins. They went out and got DeMarcus Robinson. And I feel like they're going to do that third wide receiver position almost by committee. And when you really think about it, too, Darren Waller lines up as a wide receiver half the time anyway. So he's really, part of that wide receiver group in a lot of ways, maybe not in name, but certainly in execution. So I think they're pretty good with where they are at wide receiver. And like you said, it was also probably a combination of, there's really not a whole lot of room left in this room.
What is the latest on Darren Waller, if that's even a fair question to ask at this point?
In terms of the contract?
Yeah, all that. I mean, there's some buzz, the trade news, buzz, rumors, everything that goes into it.
Yeah, that was definitely not on the Raiders' side of things. Here's the thing. I think you go out and get Davante Adams. You're not bringing him in to be in lieu of Darren Waller. You're bringing him in to forge a special, spectacular, really, tandem. And we've seen so many teams now that have so many, you know, the great teams win because they've got explosive talent, you know, at X, Y, and Z. And so that was part of the vision in getting him was, wow, what's it going to look like when Davante Adams lines up opposite Darren Waller? And forces opposing defenses to say, all right, what poison are we going to pick, knowing full well that the one that they don't has every chance to really, you know, put a whooping on them. So that was the reason why they signed or they traded for Darren Waller, and they weren't going to turn around Davante Adams. They weren't going to then just turn around and trade Darren Waller before at least getting a look to see what this thing really actually looks like. Now, the contract is an issue. Darren Waller is a tight end in name, and when you go and sit down in the negotiating room, that's how the other side, the team, looks at you. Whether you're being used as a wide receiver or as a tight end or whatever the case might be, they look at you as a tight end, and the pay structure of tight end becomes prevalent from a team's perspective. I'm sure Darren Waller and his crew want to change that a little bit, and probably deservedly so. And even when you look at him compared to some other tight ends in the NFL that he's right, you know, there alongside, he's underpaid. Now, part of that was his own doing. You know, back in 2019, during the season, here's the thing. Nobody knew who Darren Waller was before the start of the 2019 season. The Raiders picked him up, plucked him out of Baltimore on their practice squad because Mike Mayock was an assistant coach. It was their offensive coordinator at the time just happened to be out there early one day before a game and saw this kid, Darren Waller, and he's like, who the heck is this guy? I mean, when you look at Darren Waller, he just jumps out at you athletically and in every other way. And come to find out, he was on the Ravens practice squad. And Greg Olsen, on the plane back to Oakland, told John Gruden, look, man, I'm telling you, I was watching this guy over there on their practice squad who's spectacular. We don't have somebody like that. And so they went and signed him off the practice squad of the Baltimore Ravens. He was it was later on in the season, so it wasn't like he got big minutes or time in that 2018 season. But in 2019, all of a sudden, here comes this guy by the name of Darren Waller. And we all know the history and his history, all of that. So he was looking for some security at that point and took a deal that, kind of after, you know, 8, 9, 10 games of his really his rookie year, his first year. And now I'm sure he looks back at that and, you know, maybe regrets it a little bit because the pay obviously reflects it. So at some point he's going to have to, you know, knock on the door and say, hey, we got to really sit down and work this out. He's got 2 years left on his contract. I don't think anything will happen this year, but certainly this time next year, I'm sure Darren Waller is going to be, making pretty adamant that he deserves a new deal.
The 2022 Raiders remind me a bit of the 2017 and 18 Bills, if you will, and how they approached the roster rebuild. Three different players who had fifth-year options possible, but all declined from that draft from 2019. Cleveland Farrell, Josh Jacobs, Jonathan Abram. It just seems like this regime is coming in and basically starting anew. Does that mean those guys are completely gone and off the table, you think, after this year? Or are they going to give them a chance maybe to still earn a roster spot going in beyond this year, earn a contract extension?
Yeah, I think that the Raiders are open to that, but the chances of it, probably somewhat dubious. Now, the one saving grace from that 2019 draft, they also found a guy by the name of Hunter Renfrow in the fifth round.
They did.
A guy by the name of Max Crosby in the fourth round.
That's right.
It kind of evens itself out. Now, granted, had the Raiders hit all three of those guys, along with Hunter Renfrow and along with Max Crosby, you'd be looking at a completely different roster right now. But they didn't. And you know, actually, in Josh Jacobs' case, I can't really – he's played well.
Right.
I just think his situation is more – that's probably what this new regime, how they are going to view running back. I don't think you're going to see many guys get big contracts at the running back position. I think they're going to draft guys, develop them, get the most they can out of them on that rookie deal, and then probably move on unless the guy wants to stay on a deal more to the liking of them than him. So, but when you're talking about Jonathan Abrams, hasn't been able to stay on the field. Clelin Ferrell, it wasn't his fault. He was drafted fourth overall, but he was, and and he hasn't lived up to the whatever the hype was at that time. I mean, he'd have to have a really big year for him to work his way back into the pitcher. Not ruling it out, but right now it seems dubious. But again, they did get Max Crosby and re-signed him. I think Hunter Renfro is probably going to happen, his contract extension, sometime before training camp or during training camp. So that's the one thing that balances out what was all not a great 2019 draft.
What's the biggest concern for this team going into 2022 on the field, position-wise, unit-wise? What's the biggest concern?
Offensive line, they were never able to get it together last year. Part of that was they lost Richie Incognito and Denzel Good. They're two starting veteran guards by halftime of the first game of the season and never to be seen again. So that really took a veteran presence away from a young kid, Alex Leatherwood, over at right tackle, and a young center, Andre James. He was going into his first year as the starting center. It just kind of wrecked everything. And so what they knew is already going to be a learning curve after trading Gabe Jackson and Rodney Hudson and Trent Brown became even steeper at that point. And they never were able to get it together. And there's some question marks going into the season. Is Alex Leatherwood going to be able to kick out to right tackle, which is what they drafted him to be, and lock down that position? Where is Denzel Good health-wise? What's going to happen over at left guard? Does John Simpson, who played at left guard after Incognito went down, but probably has to earn his job back? Dylan Parham, a draft pick from Memphis, is in the picture there. Andre James kind of turned the right corner over the second half of the season. It looks like he's okay at center. Colton Miller is definitely one of the upper echelon left tackles in the league, but they needed to get it together. With everything that's at stake for this team and all the weapons that they have offensively, that can't be the reason that this thing goes sideways. They have to make sure that offensive line doesn't have to be the best offensive line ever, but if it could just be average compared to what it was last year, it'll go a long way. And I'm not so sure that that's not an area that we're not going to see some tinkering before it's all said and done. I think they're going to give themselves an opportunity during OTAs in this next few weeks. Going into mini camp and whatnot to really get a handle on it. And if they feel comfortable, they stand pat. But if they aren't, and I have a sense that they may not be, I wouldn't be surprised if there's an addition or two along the way.
Vinny Bond Sr. on the Western Hotline. All right, big picture, AFC West, lots of changes. That's going to be a dogfight division. We all know it. I keep saying they're going to cannibalize themselves over there. They're going to play each other twice a year, and like the Bills only have to play one of those teams. That's the Chiefs, and it seems like they're going to have not as quite of a fight from some of the teams in the East, but how do you handicap it? After all the changes, including the loss of Tyreek Hill, obviously, and the additions to the other teams.
Yeah, and it's so funny because just the other day when I was on the radio, somebody had hit me up and said, look, even if the Raiders go 1-5 in their division, and even if they lose to the Rams and Titans, and both teams are on their schedule this year, if they beat the Patriots, the Saints, the Seahawks, the Steelers, the 49ers, the Cardinals, the Texans, the Jags, and the Colts, they'll win 10 games.
Right.
And probably put themselves in the thick of things. Now, there's nobody in the building in Henderson that wants to go 1-5 in the division. But it kind of shows you that even, as you said, that's probably going to be a division that cannibalizes itself. But if everybody's taking care of business outside of their division, you can, if you're a Raiders or the Broncos or the Chargers or the Chiefs, you might be able to survive a 3-2 a 3-3 or a 2-4 in your division, as long as you're taking care of business outside of the division. That said, you can make a case and an argument for why everyone has a shot here to win the division or to be the fourth place team in the division. And even if you're the fourth place team in the division, again, if you take care of business outside of the division, you might actually still make the playoffs. I would say that maybe three teams should have a legitimate chance to make the playoffs. And if you put that fourth team in a different division, they might be able to make the playoffs. So it's going to be really fascinating to see how it all plays out. I'm sure injuries are going to play a big factor. But one thing I can say from the Raiders' perspective, as opposed to years past, I don't think that it's going to be a talent issue why they lose games or win games, or why they lose games, I should say. That's always been the case around here where there were days where just covering the Raiders. You look over to the other side, and you're like, okay, the Raiders have to play over their heads, and the other team has to have a bad day for them to have a chance to win this game. That's just being brutally honest. But now, as I look at this roster, I look at everyone else's roster, I really believe the Raiders can look pretty much everyone on their schedule eye to eye. And so that just means that football games that they play are going to come down to what football games normally come down to. Who executes? Who doesn't turn the ball over? Are you efficient in the red zone? Are you staying away from sloppy mistakes? And if the Raiders can do that, I think they're going to be their head's going to be above water all year, and they may have a chance to go big places.
Finally, Vinny, as you know, we are on the verge of, not signed, sealed, and delivered here, getting a new stadium in Buffalo. And I've been on your radio show, and we've talked about it. We're super excited, I think, for the Bills to be able to have this. It's going to be 50 years when the new one opens that the old one's been played in. But we haven't even seen renderings yet. Like, there's been little talk of this or that. Okay, the new stadium in Las Vegas, we know it's super cool. What's the best part of it? What's something you say, Sal, every stadium should have this? It's super cool. It's a super awesome part of experiencing an NFL game.
Definitely the torch area. Okay, so on the north side of the stadium, the one that has a big open window, it's probably not a window actually, but it's glass, so you can see through, whatever the technical term is for that. It's big, huge opening to the strip, okay?
Like an atrium.
What's that?
Like an atrium, kind of, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, okay. Exactly. So then right in that area, in that space, there's ample space, there's a bar, there's an open bar, and it's over by the torch, the Eternal Torch, the Al Davis Torch. And so it gives you an opportunity to be able to watch the game from this bar, look out to the strip and see everything going on down there, and just kind of congregate with your buddies and fellow fans. Now, that end, on field level, there's literally a bar, an open bar, and it's got service, table service, all of that. And you're right in the end zone. You're right behind, it's the north end zone. I want to say it's Mandalay Bay, but I don't want to get in trouble by misrepresenting, one of the big casinos out here. But it's one of those. It's one of the, the big properties out here bought that. And, to this point, when you guys come out here, you'll know what I'm talking about. When we're writing our stories, and it's an open press box here at Allegiant Stadium, when we're writing our stories afterwards, there's always a party still going on down there. So you'll hear music. You'll see a bunch of things as well. We're on a PG-rated.
I got it. Vegas. It's Sin City.
Yes, it's Sin City. So you'll see and hear lots of cool stuff. There's many a time after a late deadline game where I'm like, I'd rather be over there, but I'm here. Not that I don't love my job, I do, but man, it looks like they're having a lot of fun down there. So, and you're literally on field level. So, if you get a chance and you're here as a fan, I would definitely recommend both of those spots.
The atrium, I'm thinking about it. So you got the torch there. What do we need? Like a buffalo here, like a live buffalo maybe in the atrium.
Ooh,
like
go
check out the live buffalo, right? Maybe you'll feed him or something. I don't know.
Exactly. And the other part of that is there's a stage too. So, and here in Las Vegas, you just go right across the street to Caesars or whoever and say, hey, do you want to, Santana, do you want to come perform at halftime? Yes, of course. So, you get that element as well. There's been some really good Ice Cubes performed there. So some pretty cool artists that have performed there. So I would and here's the thing. I wouldn't worry about the blueprints and all the renderings. I think they're trying to pull off something super, super spectacular there in Buffalo, and they're going to try to get it right. So I'm sure there's right now as we speak, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm sure people are bidding on it right now. So I'm sure there's a bunch of ideas that are out there that are being presented to the Buffalo Bills and their ownership group to figure out which direction they're going to go. And I'd love to see some of those renderings because I'm sure there's some creative people have some great ideas on how to pull that thing off.
Sooner or later we will, and sooner or later you'll be here and enjoy some wings here with me and in the new stadium, buddy. All right,
The Bills are on the schedule next year.
No, new stadium won't be there yet, but we'll still do the wings. How's that sound?
Of course.
All right,
course,
buddy. Absolutely. Vinny Bonsignor, thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, you and your family.
You too, man. Thank you very much for having me on.
Okay, that is Vincent Bonsignor. He covers, I call him Vinny. He's at Vinny Bonsignor. He goes by Vincent on his profile at Twitter. You can follow him there, at Vinny Bonsignor. Does a great job. Pat Hammer's going to come up next. So I got him. I booked him for this next segment just to talk about how great Memorial Day is going to be, what your weekend looks like, what do you have to be aware of as far as any rain is concerned. We have that in the forecast. We'll do that. I had an NBA question today. Now that Joe's here, I can kind of ask it. He can break it down for me again, so I'll do that with him. I told him what it was, so I think he'll be ready for it. But in the meantime, let's get with Pat Hammer after the other side of this timeout on WGR. We're going to scramble to get the Hammer Time music. That's okay. We're going to do that because Pat Hammer's going to join us here on the Extra Point Show on WGR. We ready to rock and roll? Let's
break
do it.
Down.
There we go. All right. So we had to have it.
Stop. Hammer Time.
Couldn't have a proper introduction without your proper introductory music, Patrick Hammer. Thank you for joining me, as
nervous.
Always.
I heard a different song. I was like, what's happening?
No, we had a little changeover in producer. Zach was here. Joe came in. So I kind of put him on the spot. So it was kind of my fault there that happened. But we're all good now. We're all good. We're all set.
All is right in the world.
Yeah, and especially because, as you know, we had this discussion a few weeks ago. And I said, yep. Mike Shope and I always have this thing about Memorial Day. And you went back and did the research. And I said, every single year, Memorial Day is awesome. Well, guess what? It looks like, to me, you tell me, Memorial Day is going to be awesome again, Pat Hammer.
Yeah, it is. I mean, with the exception of last year was unawesome. It was like fine leading up to it, and then it was like in the 60s and
right.
showers. And but yeah, historically, Memorial Days do pretty well around here. And this one is going to be noticeably better than last year, and just a really nice weekend, despite, you know, the rain that we've had today. And despite how it may start tomorrow, okay, we could have a little rain Saturday morning, but that does not portend the rest of the weekend. So you get beyond tomorrow morning, and then we're good to go. Sunday and Monday, especially.
That's awesome. So anybody who has plans this weekend, stick with them, right? Don't cancel them. Do whatever you got to do.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I mean. Let's see, tomorrow showers in the morning, and then, you know, there'll be kind of some lingering clouds that will be clearing slowly, upper 60s to around 70. So, you know, not perfect,
right.
But not bad.
All right, so
Sunday,
then, go ahead, keep going.
I was just going to say, for Sunday, of course, we got the marathon.
Yes.
And the conditions for that, to me, now I'm no, you know, expert on running conditions and weather, not to say I don't run, but, you know. Yeah. I know there are those that may prefer it to be a little cooler, but it's going to be in the low 60s at race time, which is pretty good, and very little wind. And the good news is very little humidity. The humidity is coming, but it won't really be here yet on Sunday morning. So for the runners, I think conditions look pretty good. There is no threat of rain either. So for marathoners out there, it looks pretty good Sunday morning. The rest of the day looks really nice. Mostly sunny skies, upper 70s. That's pretty much perfect in my book. And then you get into Monday, and that's when we're still in the sun. It's starting to get a little bit more humid, but temperatures go up to the mid-80s for Monday. So how about that? Memorial Day, mid-80s, dry weather, sunshine, and that'll even take us into the middle of next week. We're going to stay kind of toasty probably through Wednesday. So a good stretch of weather begins Sunday, but, you know, you can argue that tomorrow's not half bad either.
All right, but long-term, we're looking at pretty dry too next week?
Yeah. You know, this, believe it or not, this spring, and, you know, for those of you that have kids that play baseball or, you know, play golf and want to have dry fields. There have been so many springs where it's like, oh my gosh, I can't get a dry center field to save my life, you know, because it seems to rain every other day. This spring has been kind of on the dry side. So we did get some rain yesterday, last night, overnight, and then some this morning. After tomorrow morning's rain, we're going to shut off the rain chance for probably 5 to 6 days. And we've had these like longer stretches of dry weather this spring. And that'll continue through early June. I think our next, June 1st is Wednesday. Our next rain chance, I think, is going to hold off until Thursday of next week. So we're talking like another week, you know,
we'll have a five-day stretch at least of dry weather beginning Saturday afternoon.
Okay, well, I will ask you, though. There are, like a lot of people out there, are probably in the same boat that I am. Max has a baseball tournament starting tomorrow morning. It's in Buffalo.
Yeah.
He has a game at 10 a.m. Are we going to play this game?
You're going to play. You know, it all depends on the field. You know, how well they drain.
Right.
You know, there are, like, for instance, okay, there's a group of fields that my son used to play on in Hamburg, Legion Field, and there's like five fields. Four of them are fantastic, and one is like a mini Lake Erie after it rains. It just doesn't drain as well as the rest. So if your field drains properly, a 10 a.m. game should be okay, even though there will be rain showers in the morning. But I think by 10, they should be wrapping up, okay? So I think the game gets in. Earlier games may have a little struggle, but again, I think this is a 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., okay, 9 a.m. rainfall.
And not like a washout either, like, right? There'll be around.
No, it'll be a nice little rain, but again, it's not lasting long. It's pushing out of here quickly. So I think Max is going to be okay. And then if it's a tournament, you know, and he keeps winning, the subsequent game should be good too.
My day tomorrow is baseball game at 10. I'll watch it. And then I literally got to shoot over. I have two flag football games to play in myself. And then after those, I will shoot back over to watch another baseball game.
That is super dad Sal right there for you. What's going to be nice about tomorrow, you know, doing your flag football when you're doing, you know, wind sprints up and down the field pretty much. It's not hot, you know.
Good.
We're in the most of tomorrow's in the 60s, okay?
Okay.
So tomorrow is not going to be this like stellarly beautiful warm day, but it will be mainly dry once we get rid of that rain in the morning, and you know, it's going to be comfortable.
All right, well, I might have to wear a long sleeve under my jersey or something. That's all. They can put it underneath the T-shirt like that. Usually like to show off the guns, Pat. I can't do that then if it's
I was
going to
say, take away, if you're wearing long sleeves in late May because it's 68 degrees, your man card is revoked. Come on.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
It's not going to be that chilly. I think with all your stuff tomorrow, despite the early rain, you should be good.
All right, so I just had Vinny Bonsignor on. He covers the Raiders, and I asked him what's the coolest thing about their stadium out there. He said they have this atrium. We've seen it on TV, right, with the torch. It's like the atrium that has this torch on it, and you can stand out there, you can congregate, and then you can kind of look over the strip or, you know, out there. And so that's really cool. He's like, you know, every stadium, the new stadium, the Bills, they should have something like this. So I started thinking, what would we have, though, besides the torch? What do you think, like a buffalo, like a real buffalo or something? Would that be cool? Like put like a, like go to the Buffalo Zoo and say we need a real buffalo in the stadium to put in the atrium.
I just feel like something could go terribly wrong.
I know, right?
Right. You know, I mean, just like one crazy Sunday, something happens. I like that idea. This may take I think they're going to have to hire a consulting firm to really analyze this. But that would be as unique as it gets. Because they're, you know, unless they're provoked, I think Buffalo are pretty docile, right? But if you tick them off, they're going to let you know about it. So, you know.
Did you ever see at the University of Colorado, you know, they call the Buffaloes, and they literally have a Buffalo run, everybody, like, on the field, the mascot runs. Do they still do that? I don't even know.
I can't. I mean, that sounds like, a bullfight, right, from the Spanish bullfight. I just can't imagine.
The running of the bulls.
Or the running of the bulls in Pamplona, Spain, right? I can't imagine they still do that at a outdoor football venue where there's alcohol involved.
Speaking of that, by the way, I got to get you. Here's your homework assignment, and you have plenty of time on this. So if you don't have it done, I'm going to be very disappointed. In about a month from now, like literally just about a month from now, my wife Yana and Max and me, we're going on a Mediterranean cruise. So so we're talking Barcelona down through the coast, the west coast of Italy. So between now and in the end of June, you need to put together like what I need to know about the forecast there.
Okay. Well, two stops you need to make: the island of Capri. Okay.
We're not going there. It's a cruise, and it's certain stops.
Oh,
like we're going to Genoa, we're going to Naples, Malta.
Naples. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Sardinia is a beautiful island to hit too. But Capri is too small for a cruise ship, so you're right. But I don't know if you know about that island. It's right off Naples.
Oh, okay.
And it's a tiny island, and it's when you go, you're going to hear about it. It's got the Blue Grotto. It's this famous grotto that's like a subterranean cave that you go through, and you go in with like a gondola a canoe, and it's just amazing. But no, I am all over that for you. What a great trip. My gosh.
It's going to be awesome.
That's awesome.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. So I'll be relying on you to tell me what I need to pack, because we were literally discussing last night whether or not we should each take just like one carry-on and then do some laundry, or if we have to pack more. And I'm like, well, if it's just shorts and a few t-shirts, I'm all about just the one carry-on. You know what I mean? For each person.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. You're going to be doing a lot of shopping over there. So pack one carry-on and then bring an extra for everything you're bringing home.
Yeah, that's right. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it as we get closer, but that's your that's your homework assignment. And the last thing, before I let you go, yesterday I had a question I asked on Twitter. What is the best sports scene in a non-sports movie? And like most people said, I think like maybe the Wedding Crashers when they're playing football in the backyard. Like hot route, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
You have the volleyball scene from Meet the Parents. I think that was one of Joe's favorites.
Oh my God, you got one?
You have something that comes to mind?
Well, it's a movie that I just saw, The House of I know, I saw it on a plane. It's not a movie that I think I would have ordinarily went to go see, but it was The House of Gucci, and they're playing, like, rugby in this Italian villa.
People responded to this. Yes.
Plays, like, one of the Gucci brothers, and he just gets manhandled, tackled by his entire family, but it's not, and they're all wearing, like, their Sunday best. But this rugby game gets going, and it's violent, and it's hysterical. So if anybody's seen that movie, they'll know the scene. So that's one, because I just recently saw that. But, boy, that's the Wedding Crashers one. Of course, the that volleyball scene is so – that with the indoor pool is so great, and Meet the Parents –
There's a lot of good ones. Yeah, we had a lot of good. Go check out the tweet. There's got like 400 replies to it. It's crazy.
Gosh, I'm trying a non-sports movie.
We got Forrest Gump, ping pong, and Alabama football. Him running around, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, when he runs out of the stadium.
Yeah,
the greatest. Love that.
Right.
With a yeah. Oh, when they go Forrest go, and right. Then they stop Forrest.
Right, yeah. So there's a lot of good ones there, for sure. So it's kind of cool to think about.
Yeah,
sure.
I will. You know what? The minute I get off the phone with you, they're all going to come to mind. But that's a very great question. You know, my mind is spinning just trying to think of all the movies that I've seen and that are not. It'll come to me, buddy. But if you haven't seen the movie, and it's just got a great cast, great acting with. You know, what's her name? Lady Gaga's in it, of course. And then Adam Driver, The House of Gucci. It's a great movie, and there's a great scene that's very similar to the football scene in Wedding Crashers, where they're playing outdoor sports in a kind of a fancy environment,
yes,
and
yes.
It just kind of gets rough. And it's really funny. So that's my nomination.
Hey, thanks on short notice for coming on. Thanks for giving the listeners all this great positive review of their weather coming up this weekend. And you and your family have an awesome Memorial Day weekend, will you?
You too, and congratulations on the podcast.
Oh, thank
you.
No,
I'm never going to see my son because I know he's going to get hooked onto it and you know, have another reason to be hide up upstairs and never see him again.
Yeah, you know what? Tell him. Have your son cut the grass and just put the headphones on. That's how he does it. It's an hour. You're all good. He's packaged in. That's how he does it.
There he goes. I love it. That's the plan.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Pat Hammer. You can follow him on Twitter at Pat Hammer, WGRZ, TV2 Chief Meteorologist. I'm going to wrap the show up when I come back, and then Mike Shope's going to take over at 3 o'clock on WGR. All right. Well, I hope everybody has a terrific, unbelievable Memorial Day weekend. I never got to my NBA question. What it was, and I said it to Joe, I wanted someone to kind of break down like the Celtics-Warriors finals for me, because I watch these teams in general from like the bird's eye view. I don't really get into the deep details of matchup versus matchup. College basketball is different. I can do that for you. Not the NBA, really, Joe. So that's what I was going to ask, and you were going to help me out with that. So you said you're super interested, though, in this particular matchup, if it is that way.
Yeah, I hope it gets there. I think it will. Celtics are a huge favorite tonight, 8.5. Quick synopsis of what that would be like is... a team that is deep and has shooters everywhere, offensive in the Warriors, against the best defense in basketball. I mean, the Celtics' length is incredible, and it's something that the Warriors have not seen yet. So it would be basically Warriors want to just run and gun. They want to up and down score offensive games as much as they can, and the Celtics would want to bog them down in what they're doing to the Heat right now, where they're winning like 90 to 80.
What if it was the Heat against the Warriors?
I just think the Heat would get rolled. Because they just...
They couldn't stop the perimeter game?
They could maybe do as well defensively as Boston. When Curry has that game where he goes off, when Klay has that game, and now the Warriors have Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins that can have a game per series where they just go off.
They have a squad.
The Celtics have two young players in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown that can match that. The Heat have one in Jimmy Butler, and his knee is not right. He cannot lift at all off the ground. So I don't think the Heat have the firepower offensively to go toe-to-toe with Golden State. Boston has the defense, and they have the star offensive players that can do it.
Joe, have a great Memorial Day weekend, brother.
Thanks, you too.
All right, everybody else out there, you do the same. Mike Shope is up next. I think it's Shope and the Bulldog today. It's just Mike, right?
Just Mike.
Just Mike, and you'll be with him. So Mike Shope up next here on WGR with Shope and the Bulldog.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.